All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to continuously shower His blessings on us and not to deny us or deprive us of any of His blessings on account of our own weaknesses, on account of our own ungratefulness, on account of our own disobedience. And you must remember that if we are not conscious of having received the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Him, then these blessings can actually be the cause of us developing spiritual sicknesses and illnesses. Brothers, I've made an announcement before, so that in the first serve, you must not have more than three. Baba, it's okay, you are from out of town, you don't know about it. three chairs per first serve, because you should try and keep the status of the first serve, especially on a Friday, and then we try to put the chairs at the back. It's in nobody's fault that they have to sit on the chairs, but our elders, we have to show respect to them, but try and keep the first serve free of too many chairs. So inshallah, we did our muazzin also. We're not telling anybody, just to remind. So we are talking about the spiritual sicknesses that can creep into a person on account of him not being aware of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being bestowed upon him. So a person got nothing, and suddenly he has something, and then he gets pride in him. So now blessing of Allah came, supposed to make him more humble, but because he did not think about Allah, he did not thank Allah, he starts thinking that there's no one like him. He starts thinking, you know what, I am the somebody. So it can be in terms of his position. He was a normal fellow, and suddenly he got promoted and elevated to a high position. So he thinks now he's the king of the world. Or if a person had no finances, he had no money, and suddenly he thinks there's no one like him, because he owns a lot of money and he can speak and treat people how he wants to. That is wrong. People with knowledge, they know nothing about anything. They picked up one book, or they went onto the internet and they read something. They suddenly think they know more than all the ulama in the world, and they start questioning and doing all kinds of things. Or a fellow never read namaz, now he's reading a few extra nafil namazes, and he thinks he's the most pious person on the planet Earth. So he starts looking down at everybody else. So this is what we're saying. Allah gave you the opportunity to do all these things, to acquire all of this. Keep it connected to Allah. If a person forgets Allah, this sickness of pride can come into him. And when pride comes into a person, finish, he's gone. Everything is gone, my respected friends and brothers. Last week we spoke about specifically the matter that is unfolding in hand, unfolded in the city of Aleppo in Syria. And obviously, it is only one city that we were talking about. It is still happening there. There are evacuations taking place and whatever else it might be. This week, we'll just expand a little bit, because many times as people of Iman, when we hear that our mu'mineen, especially the women, the children, the old, the infirm, are being slaughtered and butchered in this way, it has an effect on us also. And many times people start questioning also. I got so many questions coming that, you know, why is Allah Ta'ala, na'udhu billah, why is Allah Ta'ala allowing this? Allah Ta'ala's plan is very great, Allah is very wise. So people get this, it's a normal reaction actually. But we must just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, Allah is the greatest, Allah has a plan, Allah is all wise, Allah is all knowing. Doesn't mean that what is happening there is out of the hands, out of the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't ever question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is important for us to keep in mind, my respected friends and brothers, is this, that area that is known as Sham is not Syria only. When we speak of Sham, then normally people translate Sham as Syria. No, Syria, Arabic word is Surya. Surya, that is not Sham. Sham is a bit of a bigger area, a greater area, which includes Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Palestine and Syria itself, obviously, and then a little bit of southeastern Turkey, and even a little bit of Iraq. If you look at the old map of Sham, then that is what Sham actually is. And the English word for Sham is called the Levant. It has been given that name when the French were involved at that time in distributing all areas, like cutting pieces of cake and giving to different kingdoms. So at that time, they called it the Levant. It's an Italian word meaning the place of the rising. Obviously, it was the eastern, so the rising sun. So we in South Africa also in the Levant, you know. Mpumalanga is the land of the rising sun. So our Levant is here. So Levant basically is not any religious name. It simply is an Italian name meaning the place of the rising and the rising sun, or it means the east. Nevertheless, my respected friends and brothers, whatever is happening there at this point in time, you must remember, is an event among the various events that have been taking place in the past history. Just the city of Aleppo has been the central point of so much of war and bloodshed and mayhem and anarchy and siege and even what we call natural catastrophes over a period of time. If you go right back into the history of this particular city, it has been leveled, it has been overtaken, it has been destroyed so many times, and it is just part of the history that is taking place there. And unfortunately, we in this day and age in our life are seeing yet another siege and another destruction of Aleppo, and it will rise. And that's not only in Aleppo. When we speak of Sham, we find there are various focal points in this area of Sham that have from time to time been areas of bloodshed and of mayhem and of people of Iman losing their blood like rivers flowing there. And when we speak of the era, the period of the Crusaders, we speak of the era of Nebuchadnezzar when he conquered Jerusalem. That is now another part of Sham. And then we look at the Tatars when they came in there and what they had done in different parts of the Muslim Empire, and including Sham, my respected friends and brothers. You know, when they say the Muslim bodies were piled up knee-deep in Jerusalem when the Crusaders took over at that time, they killed 60,000 people in one day, so we can imagine what was happening there. So this area of Sham we're talking about has always been a focal point, and yet we find that that is the same place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to, أَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا, that era or that land which we have blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ مَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى, in the area around which we have blessed. The area of Masjid al-Aqsa is not just when you come out to the gate of Masjid al-Aqsa is blessed. It means that entire greater area of Sham that has been blessed. So my respected friends and brothers, we have that. On the other hand, there are a number of ayat where we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had the control of the winds, whereby he used to, you know, travel to that land which we have blessed. So my respected brothers, we keep in mind that it is definitely a blessed place, and the blessings of that area are such that it spreads everywhere else also. And being the blessed place, it is also attracting a lot of attention from different people, and people want to have a stake in there. So one is the political aspect of it, which we are seeing unfolding. And at one stage, there wasn't all these borders here. There was no borders. And then we find these borders were made. And the time will come, these borders are going to go away again. And like somebody mentioned, the future of Syria, how the border, Syria they're talking about now, how those borders are going to be redrawn and whatever it might be. So that is the political side. When we speak of the blessed side, the physical blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in that area, if we have to look at, Allah speaks about watini wa zaytun. What is he talking about? He is talking about the land of Sham, the fig and the olive and the vegetation, the abundance of water in that place, the fertility of the land, etc. So in that way, it is a very, very blessed area, a very, very blessed place, physically speaking. And those of us who had the opportunity of just walking through the old city, and when you see all those people, the vendors with their fresh produce, there then you see this is what an orange really looks like, and this is what a cucumber is supposed to look like, not what we have looked like, more plastic stuff around here. That is the real stuff, my respected friends. It is watered and quenched by the most blessed water in the most fertile of land. And when you see that, it's unfortunate you can't bring some of that home, obviously. But everything is so beautifully growing there, and it is there. It is alhamdulillah on display, and people are buying it. Then on the spiritual side, my respected friends and brothers, we are also connected to that place. Not only Syria, not only Masjid al-Aqsa, the entire land of Sham. We find that in the Quran, the amount of Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam have been made mention of. Most, if not all of them's mission is in that area. Birthplace, around there. Working amongst the people and various experiences which the Quran makes mention of, around there. Ibrahim alayhi salam is an Iraqi, by the way. Ibrahim alayhi salam is not an Arab. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in Iraq in a place called Ur. But the amount of link that Ibrahim alayhi salam has with our deen and most of the things that have happened there with regard to Ibrahim alayhi salam, is a lot of it is in the land of Sham. There is some in Iraq also, the great fire where he was put in, that is there. Then you have the land of Makkah where Ibrahim alayhi salam pulled up the Kaaba. But the final resting place of Ibrahim alayhi salam is Nal Khalil. So Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam on a large scale are connected there. And Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in are buried in the land of Sham all over the place by the hundreds. We don't know all the qabrs, but I just mentioned one part of eastern Turkey, southeastern Turkey is called Diyarbakir. There are 400 Sahaba that are known to be buried there, documented, authentic. Outside Masjid al-Aqsa, those who had the opportunity of going will know just on the outside of the walls there, there's a grave of Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit and Shaddad bin Aus radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Great, great Sahaba. We read the hadith after Maghrib, their names come up from time to time. Great Sahaba. And around Masjid al-Aqsa and everywhere else also, there are Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala. Then there are great awliya that are buried there. Then there are great scholars. And there's a hadith with regard to the Abdal, the special servants and the buzrugs and the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Abdal. We know about them. There are a whole lot of them are found here in Sham. In Sham, not only in Masjid al-Aqsa, all over, even in the mountains of Lebanon. So that is a different topic at a different time, inshallah. So my respected friends and brothers, it is such a blessed place. Now we look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of people have a question here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina wa fi yamanina. Oh Allah, bless us in our Sham and in our Yemen. Both are hot spots at the moment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua for this place. So we see the blessing there in different ways. But there's another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Tuba li Sham. Glad tidings before Sham. Again, which part of Sham? Whole of Sham. Not only Syria, not only Masjid al-Aqsa, the whole area. Must always look at it in that area. So the Sahaba asked, but why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِأَنَّ مَلَائِكَةَ الرَّحْمَانِ بَاسِطَةٌ أَجْنِحَتِهَا عَلَيْهِ. That the malaika of Rahman of Allah Ta'ala, they spread their wings over this particular place. Now the question comes to Sudan, why is all this happening there? Why is it always an area where there is bloodshed and whatever else it might be? So here we speak about that the protection or rather the blessings of Allah and the malaika spreading over it is not in our way to see that there will never be any difficulty or there will be any bloodshed, there will be any murder taking place there. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of protecting that place, and with this events and these events coming, it is Allah ta'ala's way of purifying the place, raising the stages of the place, and keeping such people in those places that will finally carry the flag of haqq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that that place will be under siege in such a way that only a small group of people, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in that hadith, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي منصورين على الحق. Now in the context of the hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will continuously be a group of people in my ummah will uphold the cause of truth. And it is a small group that are in that area. They will be helping the cause of truth. Those who oppose them are not going to get it right. So at this point in time, We find that the Russians are busy bombing from the top. Syria's Alawi Shia government is knocking them from the bottom, and they're held by the Iranian militia and by the Lebanese militia Shia. All of them are doing whatever they are doing. But my respected friends and brothers, there is a group of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved and who will finally be the victors in such a way that Sham will always be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever happens here is not a permanent thing, it's a temporary thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a time, he brings the reversal of situation, then things are again purified and stabilized. We heard of Bosnia and we heard of so many other places. We know what was going on at that time. These are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plans. Allah is the greatest. Allah knows what is happening. So, my respected friends and brothers, we go forward now. We go forward. This place is still going to affect us. And if we have to look at the ahadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relation to the major signs of Qiyamah, all of them are in this areas here. For example, there's one hadith, the reference just misses my mind now, where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there are going to be three great wars, one in Iraq, one in Yemen, and one in Sham. Now just look at this as we're looking at the news now, all three hotspots at this point in time as we speak. But whether these are the three great wars, or it has taken place, or it's still going to take place, we don't know. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it's going to take place. So one sahabi asked, so in which one should I go and participate? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you must go and participate in the one in Sham, in the area in Sham. Then, my respected friends and brothers, last week we quoted a hadith with regard to people finding safeguard in Sham, when the great war will take place, Al-Malhama, where there are going to be 80 armies worth 960,000 all in all fighting the Mu'minin. Where will that be? That is also going to be in Balad al-Sham, in a place called Al-Ghuta, which those who have been there will know, not very far from Damascus. So there is another place that is going to be a focal point of the signs of Qiyamah. How far is it happening? Like right now, we know Ghuta in 2014 was a focal point where they found some missiles there and all the rest of that. It wasn't chemical warfare, chemical gas dropped in that place. But that is a place that is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't go into all the details, but if we have to look at now another sign of Qiyamah, where Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the coming of Imam al-Mahdi, radiallahu anhu, then we find a lot of his activity is going to be in Sham. Dajjal is going to be spotted. They say Dajjal is going to be spotted and finally emerge, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, between or in the valleys between Iraq and Syria, between Iraq and Sham. So if you look at the eastern border of Sham, which is the western border of Iraq, Jordan included, so somewhere there in some mountainous area, he will be spotted and finally he'll emerge. And he will be known that this is the Dajjal. And so he's going to come in that area. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then has prophesied how Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will come down where? In which place? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Ala minaratin bayda'a sharqiyya, on the eastern area or the eastern minaret, which is going to be in Damascus. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually named the place. And we find that Isa alayhi salam is going to descend there with two malaika, a most spectacular event. For those who are going to witness it coming down, you'll see angels for the first time in your life coming down with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he will come down and Imam Mahdi will be there, and then they are going to finally undertake the jihad from there and come to where? To Jerusalem down, all in the land of Sham. The place where the Dajjal is going to be slain is going to be in, not very far from Tel Aviv, Bab Lud. Those who took a plane to Tel Aviv and you're going back to Jerusalem, you'll find Lod Airport. So that is where it is going to be. Area known as Bir Zaybak, the well of Mercury, where Isa alayhi salam will destroy the Dajjal. So these are places that we mentioned in the hadith. A lot of things are still going to happen closer to Qiyamah, right there. Ya'juj, Ma'juj, will conclude on that one there. Are the two savage, barbaric tribes about which the Quran makes mention of. They will come and cause so much of havoc. People have written a lot of books and articles on who they think Ya'juj and Ma'juj are. Somebody thinks America and Israel, and somebody America and Russia, and somebody think East and the West, and all different things. But they are basically in some mountainous area, sealed up there. And when they come, whenever they come, we find that at that time they are going to cause such anarchy on the face of the earth that when they pass again, there's one place called Tabariya, Buhayra Tabariya, Tiberias. It's called the Sea of Galilee, right in the north of Israel, not really far from the Golan Heights where Palestine, we don't say Israel, we say Palestine and Syria meet up. Just there is a huge lake, which is known as the Lake of Tiberias. So the first part of Yajuj, Majuj is going to pass there in Sham. And when the others are going to come, the people in the back in the part, in the same queue, they will say there used to be water here, whereas the first group drank up all the water. That is the savage nation that's going to come, also in the land of Sham. And their destruction will come when they're going to make one act of blasphemy against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jerusalem on a mountain known as Jabal al-Khamar, where they say, we have vanquished and conquered the people of the land. Now we're going to conquer the one in the sky. Now they're getting too clever, you see. So they're going to start firing their weapons or arrows, whatever it is, in the sky according to the hadith, and those things will come back blood-stained. And they say, we think we just sorted this one also out in the heavens, na'udhu billah. And then Isa alayhi salam will be in the mountains nearby, also in the land of Sham. He's going to make dua, and then Allah Ta'ala will cause the destruction of Yajuj Majuj. So my brothers, there are lots of references in the hadith with regard to the signs of Qiyamah. And each sign of Qiyamah is a topic on its own, inshallah, we'll go on to it when Allah gives us the tawfiq. But what we are saying is that what is happening here is just part of a series of events that have happened, are happening, and are still going to happen. We don't know how long we would love to see all those things, but a lot of signs of Qiyamah will unfold in there. For us to keep our iman strong, thus we don't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We attribute everything to Allah ta'ala. We say Allah ta'ala knows best. And this is the chance, and alhamdulillah, we see how we are turning to Allah ta'ala and making dua for everybody in the world, especially for the people of Sham. It renews our iman and renews our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we continuously will make dua for the Muslimin of the world in Sham, Iraq, and everywhere else in Yemen and in parts of Africa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down conditions of goodness wherever the mu'minin are. Humana.